This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Hello and Happy New Year. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, January 8th. The FCC has agreed with ARRL and other commenters that its proposed $50 fee for certain amateur radio applications was too high to account for the minimal staff involvement in these applications. In a report and order released on December 29th, the FCC scaled back to $35 the fee for a new license application, as well as a special temporary authority request, a rule waiver request, a license renewal, and a vanity call sign application. All fees are per application. Administrative updates, such as a change of mailing address or email address, are exempt. ARRL filed comments opposing the proposed $50 fee and urged its members to follow suit. As the FCC noted, although some commenters supported the proposed $50 fee as reasonable and fair, ARRL and many other individual commenters argued that there was no cost-based justification for the application fees. The fee proposal was adopted to implement portions of the Repack Airwaves Yielding Better Access for Users of Modern Services Act of 2018, the so-called Ray Baumes Act. The FCC said that after reviewing the record, including the extensive comments, and based on its revised analysis of the cost of mostly automated processing, it went with $35. The 2018 statute excludes the amateur service from annual regulatory fees, but not from application fees. The effective date of the fee schedule hasn't been set yet. Effective on June 29, 2021, amateur radio licensees and candidates must provide the FCC with an email address on all applications. If no email address is included, the FCC may dismiss the application as defective. On September 16th, the FCC adopted a report and order on completing the transition to electronic filing, licenses, and authorizations, and correspondence in the wireless radio services, end quote. The FCC has already begun strongly encouraging applicants to provide an email address and will email a link to an official electronic copy of a license once it's granted. While many, if not most, radio amateurs already have provided an email address to the FCC, that also will become a requirement under Section 97.21 of the new rules as amended. Each license must show the grantee's correct name, mailing address, and email address. The QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo will return March 13th and 14th for a full 48 hours, QSO Today announced this week. ARRL is a QSO Today Expo partner. The inaugural QSO Today Expo last August attracted more than 16,000 online attendees. The QSO Today Virtual Ham Expo will feature new speakers and presenters, panel discussions, and kit-building workshops, among other activities. Attendees can log in from anywhere. The Virtual Expo offers an opportunity for those concerned about pandemic travel restrictions. Last year, the event's organizers found that 60% of attendees do not go to in-person national conferences, and 40% do not attend state or local events. Registration is required. Advance tickets are $10, $12.50 at the door, and include entry for the live 2-day show, as well as to a 30-day on-demand period after the expo. The expo will include a variety of presentations from well-known ham radio personalities. Visitors also will be able to walk through the virtual exhibit hall to visit an array of amateur radio vendors and see live demonstrations of the latest equipment. The show will leverage newer video technology to provide a better experience for attendees to engage with exhibitors. visit www.qsotodayhamexpo.com for more details. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News, heard in Lapeer, Michigan, on the W8LAP 14620 repeater, Wednesdays at 8 p.m., courtesy of the Lapeer County Amateur Radio Association. Here's the AMSAT report. At year's end, Martha Saragovitz, the long-term office manager at AMSAT, retired. As she had run the office literally for decades, it was hard to see her leave. With Martha's departure, AMSAT has closed the office and soon will have a virtual office. Members will be able to call a number and be connected to someone who will be able to assist. All AMSAT store items will be available, but will be handled through vendors instead of through the office in an effort to streamline things. Mail will be received, opened, scanned, and emailed, so trips to the post office will not need to be done on a daily basis. In the meantime, until mail service is operational, send all mail to AMSAT's permanent mailing address, P.O. Box 27, Washington, D.C., zip 20044-0027. You can always get in touch with someone through the AMSAT.org website. Click on the Contact button in the upper right corner of the homepage. Our thanks to Bruce Page, KK5DO, for this report. ARRL Amateur Radio Emergency Service volunteers went on alert on Christmas Day, ready to deploy in Williamson County, Tennessee, in the aftermath of an early morning explosion in front of an AT&T switching facility in downtown Nashville. The blast injured several people and killed the individual believed responsible for the blast. It also damaged buildings, broke water mains, and disrupted telecommunications. Monitoring nets were up and running on local analog repeaters and DMR repeaters, with participants answering questions as best as they could for those checking in. The Middle Tennessee Emergency Amateur Radio System, MTIRS, held nets on its DMR repeater system several times a day. The main repeater at the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency site was affected by the outage. Williamson County Aries held a continuous net on its 5-repeater-linked system to assist hams as needed. The net also relayed news updates from AT&T and county governments and assisted callers on AT&T to implement wireless calling on their phones. A net also activated in Davidson County in Middle Tennessee. You're listening to ARRL Audio News, heard in Livingston, Michigan, via the W2GLD 224.5 repeater, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Here are some news briefs. Tom Sly, WB8LCD, was named as Ohio Section Manager, effective on January 1st. He assumed the seat that Scott Yonely, N8SY, vacated when he became Great Lakes Division Vice Director after serving as Ohio's SM since 2014. Sly was appointed to serve the remainder of Yonely's term, which extends through September 30th, 2022. A radio amateur since 1968, Sly is an ARRL Life member and has served as Ohio Section Affiliated Club Coordinator since 2017. After 41 years, Hamcom has decided to close its doors. Hamcom President Bill Nelson, AB5QZ, cited difficulties caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and the rising costs of putting on a show. Nelson said safety was the top priority. Hamcom had been held each June at the Plano, Texas Event Center. CPAC has canceled its in-person convention, which had been designated as the 2021 ARRL Northwestern Division Convention. The CPAC Executive Committee said it had been closely monitoring the continuing COVID-19 pandemic and determined that canceling the event was the safest course of action. The committee is exploring alternative online and on-air activities. And that wraps up ARRL Audio News for Friday, January 8th, 2021. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME. We'll see you next week.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.